There are walls made by man, built by frail and human hands, that an enemy can scale and get to you. But there is one protecting me from my greatest enemy. It's a wall that Satan can't break through. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. Oh, my brother, when I'm weak, would you stand instead for me and pray a fortress round me strong that can't be moved? And I promise you today, when I bow my knees to pray, I'll do my best to build a wall of prayer for you. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from the world of care. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
Beautiful song, beautifully sung. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12. And to think that it may be that we're here today because someone prayed for me, someone prayed for you, and maybe not even who we thought was praying for us, but power of prayer. Praise the Lord for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and when you find your place there, if you would please stand with me if you're able to. And we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look with me at verse 6. We'll begin reading here where Paul, under the inspiration of God, writes. Verse 6, and I'll read through verse 10 this morning. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful today for the singing. Lord, for the songs that we've sung about your blood and about what you did for us on Calvary. Lord, we meant it when we sung those things. We give you the praise and the glory. We ask now that you would meet with us. Lord, help every heart to be open to the words of Scripture and to the words that, Lord, you've given to Pastor Becker, the message that you've given him. Please use him in a great way, Lord, to administer your word. Help us, Lord. If any in here don't know you as their personal Savior, may they make that decision today. Please work on their hearts to accept you. And, Lord, we'll give you all the glory for what you do in the service this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open, please, to this passage here. God used the Apostle Paul to pen these words. We know they are the words of God. But he was speaking here and talking about how the Lord allowed him to be buffeted, to be beaten, is really what the term means even. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said that he was given a thorn in the flesh. And he said three times he asked the Lord to take this thorn away, and the Lord decided not to take it away. But in verse number 9 it says, he would not take it, but verse 9 he says, but he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, you're going to go through things in life and maybe you'd rather them not be there, but God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all that you need, and my grace will get you through whatever the trials that you're going through. And he said, because of that, he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And because of that, Paul says, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And the end of verse number 10 actually as well, it says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Look at the terminology he uses about this thorn in the flesh, being buffeted. It says he would gladly go through this for the Lord. He would glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want to preach you a message this morning. I am weak, but he is strong. I am weak, but he is strong. We want to look at it the other way around, to think that I'm strong and I can handle it and I can do anything. But God wants to remind us that we're weak, but that he's strong. You can do nothing but without Christ and through Christ. And God allows things to come into our lives. He purposefully allows things to come into our lives to remind us that we are weak, that point us to him. You look at this passage here, and it kind of doesn't make sense to say, when I'm weak, then am I strong. How does that make sense, Lord? There's a number of passages in the Bible that speak of kind of opposites that God puts there, kind of like the give to get principle. You know that one, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. You think, well, the world says, well, if you don't have it, you need to keep it. You know, you've got to try to get more and more and more and get some kind of wealth for yourself and to stockpile. But God says, give, and it shall be given to you. How many times in Scripture you think of the widow that she gave the last that she had before her and her son would die? And the prophet came and said, feed me first. And if it was not by God, I would just say it was just a hungry man that wanted food. But he said, give, and God provided for that widow and her son the rest of their lives. Give, and it shall be given unto you. See, our mind says, keep, get more, but God says to give. You see another principle similar to this, lose your life to find it. In Matthew 16, it says, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. See, this world says, go and make a name for yourself and get everything you can, and, you know, go do what you can do, and, you know, you can do anything. No, you can't. No, you can't. Not without Christ. You can't do without Christ. You lose your life to find it. You're going out searching, trying to make a name for yourself and a life for yourself. You're going to have nothing in the end, but unless it's through Christ, you have to lose your life to find it. Does that even make sense? It does when you trust Christ. The Bible says, You have to be a fool to become wise. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. You think, well, you know, to be strong, I've got to get stronger. No, says God, God says, you need to realize you're weak to become strong. God said, if you want to get, you have to give. If you want to find your life, you need to lose it. And God said, to be wise, you need to consider yourself a fool for Christ's sake. A fool for Christ's sake. And then, of course, weak to become strong. Another passage talks about humbling yourself under the hand of God, that he may lift you up and exalt you in due time. See, our mindset is different than God's, but understand that God is right. And that God knows better than we know. See, none of us think, well, I want weakness. I want difficulty. I want the thorn in the flesh. As Paul said here, he said in verse number 10, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You see the opposites listed here about different from what you would think because of what God said. You think about some opposites, or you think of what an oxymoron, opposite things put together. You think of this. Have you ever thought of this? Act naturally. They don't go together, to act naturally. How about this? Have you ever heard someone say someone is clearly confused? How do those two go together? How can you be clearly and confused? How about good grief? You ever heard that before? Well, good grief. Well, if it's grief, you know, what about icy hot? That one doesn't make sense at all. Doesn't go together. Civil war. I'll never get that one. Terribly nice. Or how about this? It's the same difference. The same. How can it be the same if it's a difference? Things that are completely opposite that we say that somehow go together. What about this one? That it's pretty ugly? It's either pretty or it's ugly. It's probably not both. Or he or she, whatever it may be. Natural makeup. What about student teacher? None of those seem to make sense. They're opposites that we seem to make sense of what they mean. But yet in everyday life, there's things that we say or do that don't seem to make sense to us, but in a way they do. But when it comes to God, we've got to try to work all things out and figure it out. And God said, I'm strong in your weakness. In your weakness, Christ is made strong. You know, God allows things to come into our lives to make us weak. Things that come to break us down, if you will, so that Christ can be glorified in and through our lives. Things that you wouldn't ask for. You wouldn't ask for difficulty, but God brings it along, and we pray that God would take it away and remove it from us. But maybe, like Paul said, he prayed three times that God would take it away, and God says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Maybe you've gone through some things in your life that God has allowed and God has brought, and you said, God, would you take it away? And we're stuck on God taking it away, but God said, if I have it there, it's for a reason and it's for a purpose. Because God is trying to build you up through that weakness. God is trying to build you up through that difficulty, through that thorn in the flesh that God allowed to come into your life. You think of working out. When someone goes to work out, you don't leave that workout feeling like, man, you're the strongest. If you've done a good workout, and you can tell, spent many hours in the gym, accumulated in my life. But you leave an exercise and you feel what? Weak. If you've exercised good, you leave there worn out, but you exercise to build your strength each and every time. And God allows difficulties and trials to come into our life. Why? Because when I'm weak, he is strong. When I realize in my life that I cannot do everything, God says, well, then I can work through you. God said, I can work through your weakness in your life. Instead of taking away the weakness, God gives strength. Instead of God taking away the weakness, God gives grace, because God wants to be glorified through your weakness. Why does God allow the weakness to come into our life? Why does God allow trials? Why does God allow things to come that we would wish and we'd pray away if we could, but God said, I'm going to leave it there. I want it to stay because I want to do a work in your life. Number one, weakness causes humility. Weakness causes humility. Hey, in our strength, man, we think we're somebody, don't we? And we think, man, look at what I did. And, you know, you pick up something really heavy, guys, and you hope that your wife is watching. You know, you untwist that jar. You do something, you look what I did. you do a project and you get started lifted up until that project that you made and it just crumbles and falls apart. You're like, I meant to do that. See, that's what you do. When it didn't turn out right, just say you meant to do that and then go try to fix it. Probably not the way it really is. Weakness causes humility. In verse number 7, it says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. See, God brought something in his life so that Paul would not think he was exalted and that he had done something great, but that God was doing something great in and through his life, and he was going to keep him humble. What did God allow into his life? We don't know exactly, but there was something in to do with his speech that God had allowed to come and to humble him. But God weakens us to show our humility and our lack of ability and our lack of strength and to lower our pride. In ourselves, we are prideful people. And God has to humble us to remind us that we can only do things through Christ. Paul said, lest I should be exalted. You know, be honest that our human nature, we like to be praised. We like to be lifted up. We like people to say, good job, and, you know, give you that handshake or that hug, and you're the best. But all that to say that we can do nothing without Christ. And if we try to take glory on our own, God's going to allow more weakness to come into our life so that he can be exalted and so that we could be abased, so that we can be brought low. Some would say, I'm humble and proud of it. Right? I'm humble and proud of it. I'd be the first to say, that's not the way the humility works. We're trained to say that I can't is a bad phrase, and I understand that. But many times we think of I can't as I won't. I'm not even going to try. But when it comes to God, you say, God, I can't without you. God, I can't. I can do nothing without you. I can't go through this day without you. I can't face my work situation without you. I can't face this prayer need in my life without you. I can't face this health need in my life without you. And God said, good, but I can take care of it. Because when I am weak, he is strong. When I realize I can do nothing, God said, now I can come through and do something in and through your life. God wants to humble us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When you realize that your strength is in Christ, then God can do work. When you think the strength is in you and that you have all the ability and the knowledge and the talent and the looks and all the package, God said, I've got to bring you low first. I've got to humble you before I can use you. In the beginning of the book of Corinthians, that God said that he uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. The base things, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. The things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, we get so lifted up in our minds that we think that we're great, and we realize he is great. Before I start lifting myself up before God, I realize I can't lift myself up because God has already lifted up. When you lift up God, then God can use you. Why does God bring weakness? Because weakness causes humility, and we need a good dose of humility today. Weakness, secondly, brings glory to God. In verse number 9, it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He says this, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. To glory in your infirmities? Now, that's not to go around and share your ingrown toenail news with the whole church. We probably don't want to hear about your infirmity today. That does not mean that we would not pray for you. But he said, I'll glory in the infirmities. And he changed his mindset from saying, God, take away the weakness, to God, use the weakness. Instead of taking away the trial, would you use the trial to bring glory to you? When we realize that anything that God has brought into our life is to bring glory back to him, instead of making it all about me, make it all about God. Instead of making it all about you, make it all about God. I'm not trying to make light of difficulties, because there's times where you're just going through it and you need someone to encourage you and to pray for you and to lift you up. But God is bringing you through that to bring him glory. And our life going through trials are a testimony of God and to bring glory to God. God is going to use our weakness to bring glory to Him. In the next verse, in verse number 10, it says, Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. He says two things. He would gladly go through these infirmities, and He would take pleasure in them. I don't know about you, but I've never taken pleasure in getting to go to the emergency room. I've never taken pleasure in stubbing my toe. I've never taken pleasure in getting a car accident. I've never thought, praise be to God, but God wants to get glory through the difficulties, the weaknesses that we have in our lives, understanding that God brought them to begin with. Instead of blaming God for them, give Him glory through the weakness that God has brought into your life. Most will say, look at what I did, and what we really should say is, look at what God did. Too many times we point the finger at ourselves instead of pointing it at God. Sometimes people do that at the end of a contest, and they do something, oh, praise to God, and I think, you're just saying words. You're not giving praise to God for what you're doing. You're just saying words you think make others happy. But are you truly bringing glory to God in and through the weakness that God has brought in your life? First of all, weakness causes humility. Secondly, weakness brings glory to God. And then thirdly, this morning, weakness produces the power of God. Weakness produces the power of God. Look at verse number 9. It says, in the last part, I will gladly glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul, I believe, would not have been used as he did in the New Testament to start churches and encourage Christians and see souls saved. I don't believe that God could have used him as he did without the infirmities, without the weaknesses, without God allowing the things into his life. And he says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you desire the power of God in your life? Many Christians will never know, first of all, know God's will for their life because they're not seeking, and not because God is keeping it from them. But many Christians will not know the will of God because they're not seeking after it. But number two, many Christians will never know the power of God in their life. Not because it's not available to all, but because it's only available to those that are seeking for it. Are you seeking the power of God in your life, or are you okay with living a weak Christian life? I think of Samson in the Old Testament. That he had superhuman strength that God had given to him, and he had a Nazarite vow that was from his birth, and he could do anything. He was the modern day superhero, if you will, carrying the gates upon him and tearing apart animals. All that Samson did in defeating hosts of the Philistines. But Samson got too big for himself. And he, for some reason, listened to Delilah over and over. First of all, I think, Samson, you are not a bright guy. Yeah, he had a lot of strength here and not a lot of wisdom here. Let's put it that way. And she continually tried tricking him to find where his strength was. And he'd tell her, and then he would break through the bands or whatever it was. And I think, Samson, stop giving her anything close to the answer. And she finally begged him, and he said, well, the strength is from my hair, if my hair is cut. And Philistines came that night, and they shaved his head, and he got up to go do what he would do at any other time, but he didn't realize the Lord had departed from him. They captured him, they plucked out his eyes, they had him grinding corn and meal and stuff as an animal and mocking him because they got their prized possession there. And it came to the point where the Philistines had a gathering, and Samson there was between the two pillars. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And he put his hands on those pillars. He asked them and put his hands on the pillars, and he shoved that down, and more were killed in Saul and Samson's death than in his life. He didn't realize that the power of God left him, but he prayed, and God gave him strength one more time for God to bring his power upon him in his life again. Do you have the power of God in your life, or are you living a powerless life today? Hey, God is the source of our power. God is the source of our strength. Are you going to the source of the strength, or have you left it alone? You're not going to get too strong if you're not exercising or working out and trying to build up your strength. But as a Christian, you're not going to build your strength if you're not going to the source of Jesus Christ. If you're not going to the Word of God, if you're not going to God in prayer. We sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. We sing that song to our children, yes, Jesus loves me, and we realize that he is strong, but we are weak. Do you come to God today and realize that we are weak, but he is strong? See, maybe you're trying to ask for the weakness to leave. Maybe you're trying to ask for the difficulty to be taken away, but God said, I'd rather give you strength, and I'd rather give you grace to go through the trials. Without God, we can do nothing. But with God, you can do anything. See, God is trying to work in your life. What has God allowed into your life that maybe you've resented? Maybe that you've prayed away, and I'm not against praying for those needs, but if God has told you, as he did to Paul, my grace is sufficient. I'll help you through this trial. Although it may never leave, I'll give you grace through the trial. And when you realize that, there's a humility that you find, there's a glory that you give to God in your life, and then there's also the power of God that can rest upon you when you realize the strength is made perfect in weakness. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. What has God allowed into your life that maybe we're looking at it the wrong way? We have weakness, but God has strength that we need. What is God trying to produce through the weakness? With head bowed and eyes closed this morning, first of all, maybe you'd say, I don't even know that I'm a Christian. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I were to die today, that I would have a home in heaven, but I'd like to know that. Well, you can show you from the Word of God what the Lord says. You can't get to heaven on your own, only through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, you can take care of that matter today by simple faith and trust in him alone. Maybe you need a place to pray and a time to spend with God to realize I'm weak, but he is strong. Head bowed and eyes closed, please, if you would stand to your feet. We'll have a moment for an invitation time this morning to respond to what God has spoken to your heart about, most importantly in the matter of salvation. If you don't know you're saved today, the best decision that you can make is to trust Christ as your Savior. Put your faith in him. You can come here in the front, and Brother James is here, and we could have a man show a man or a lady show a lady from the Word of God in just a few minutes how you can trust in Christ alone. Maybe you need a place to pray and spend time with God, whatever it may be. Lord, please work in this invitation time. Do what you want to be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you head bowed and eyes closed, as the ladies begin to play, would you come and spend time with God?